This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Irene Gleeson isn't your typical Australian grandmother. Instead of seeing out her retirement in a quiet coastal town, Irene left her family here in Australia and travelled to Uganda, where she now cares for over 10,000 orphans. Her charity, Childcare Kitgum Servants, is based at Kitgum in northern Uganda, but she's back in Australia over Christmas. Welcome, Irene.
How are you, Christina?
I'm well. It's so nice to have you here with us. I actually heard about you a long time ago, Irene, and about your work when my sister was working at Crossroads in Hong Kong, which is an organisation that sends goods all over the world. But how long have you been in Uganda now?
It's 20 years now.
Wow. And what took you there in the first place?
To redress the imbalance, really. God just put in my heart how he hates unequal measures. It's an abomination to him. And so that thought of God just settled into my heart, and I was sponsoring many children. I got up to 23 children that I was sponsoring in Africa, and then it was virtually God saying, go and do it yourself.
Mm. How has your work changed over those 20 years from, you know, tell us about how you started and what it looks like now.
When I went there in 1991, I towed my caravan. I bought a caravan, shipped it over and towed it right up into the war zone. I wanted to go where no one else would go because I left behind my four children when my youngest daughter turned 21. That's when I went. And because giving up my children and my beachside home, I had to sell that to finance myself. It was big sadness, and so I had to make it worthwhile. So I went to the far north of Uganda, about 30 kilometres from Sudan border, and I found myself in the middle of a big rebel war where they were abducting children, thousands upon thousands. No one will ever know the number. Between 20,000 and 100,000 children were abducted and brutalised and turned into child soldiers.
Mm. Before we go on further with that, I have to ask you, what did your children think when you did this? You said that you had this sadness about leaving them. How did they respond?
They never believed I was going to do it. But, you know, the call of God, when he has a plan and a purpose for you, it's irresistible, really. And sadly, yeah, I've had to miss 20 years of their life and 20 years of my grandchildren's lives. I've got 15 grandchildren here, and they've grown up without me, my help and my love. But when we're in heaven, we'll have eternity together, and they'll have many African brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. So you said you started off in that caravan, and you went into a war zone. And what did you actually do?
I'm a teacher, so I would carry a little camp stool around the villages with me, and I was running about three schools a day, and I would just sit under a shady tree, and the children would come out of, you know, the bush, and they'd sit down and they couldn't believe there was a white lady sitting there teaching them songs with puppets and music and picture books. And we would just talk and sing, but I wanted to put the song back in the hearts of the children because they were all war traumatized. They were like little zombies. They couldn't speak. They were just traumatized. Mm. But after a few months, I could hear them singing in the evening, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So it was good. I had me and God, we had put the song back in the heart of the children.
And what's happened in Uganda since then? You said that it was in the middle of war, and obviously it's been 20 years since then. Is there still trouble and strife?
Well, the war went on for 16 years. So I lived with the children, and our school uniform was the blood red, you know, symbol of Jesus' blood. And I taught them the story of Exodus, how when the angel of death was coming, they painted the blood of the lamb over their doorposts, and then the angel of death would fly over. So all the children knew the reason why they were dressed in red. And we rescued so many children, they would escape, run to us. And many times my life was threatened. The rebels, you know, would come to get me and cancel me out and kill me. I faced guns and bayonets in my face, but always God rescued me without a hair of my head being harmed.
Mm. So you have had times when you've been in real danger then?
Oh, yes. The war only finished 4 years ago. And I just want to share how one of the last things, the rebels abducted 100 children about 4 years ago from Kitgum Town, And two of them happened to be my girls from my school. And they marched these 100 children into the bush, sat them down. They said, we want the literate ones because we want to write letters all around the world complaining about our situation here. And when they came to my girls, and my girls said, oh, we go to childcare school, the rebels said, get away. You people are always praying and praying. You are always disturbing us. So I thought, how wonderful that you can actually disturb the devil when you pray.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And after that, they started to disappear. And God showed me in the Bible in Joel, I am driving the northern army into the desert. And he did. And now they've gone to Congo. The last 4 years has been free of war.
Mm-hmm. So what does your organisation or your ministry look like now? You're not sitting under a tree anymore on a stool gathering children to you. What does it practically look like?
Practically, it is three primary schools, 3.5 primary schools. One's 100 kilometres away, 30 kilometres away. And these are in the centre of destitute people, and the primary schools provide full daycare from 7:30 to 4:30. That is, they get breakfast, lunch. There's clinics there. There's water bores, so they can just live their full life there during the day and educating, and then they go home. So they're in their community at night and at weekends. I've got that, and I've got a big vocational school, 5-year training in building, carpentry, dressmaking, computers, welding. I've got a big radio station called Mighty Fire FM Radio that broadcasts from Congo across to Kenya, up into Sudan, to Juba, and down to the River Nile. I've got a big AIDS hospice, 60 beds, residential. It's the only residential AIDS hospice in Uganda. And that has 20 adults, 20 children, and 20 infants. Mm. And last year, God does, his hand is on my work. And last year, only 3 people died and 25 people were discharged. Go home. You're healthy now.
That's great. And so how do you get helpers for your work, Irene? You must need teachers and medical staff and that sort of thing. Where do they come from?
I don't pay white people. Is that?
Yeah.
I don't pay, what do you call them?
Foreigners.
Expats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have 400 Ugandan staff. But volunteers are welcome to come any time and help lift the standards of teaching or building, construction or agriculture,
so they
or nursing.
Maybe would be useful to come and train your staff, that sort of thing, do you mean?
Yeah,
or
but
to
we have to be,
just be helpers?
Yeah. Work alongside them.
Okay.
I'm empowering the people, and I've been there 20 years, and many of my children that were 6 years old are now 26. And they are my trained teachers, my trained doctors, my trained medicos, my trained drivers, trained drivers.
Not trained drivers, trained drivers.
Yeah, mechanics. And so they are, but they're happy that people come and visit and, come along and side them, encourage them, love them. And I think visitors go away more blessed than the people of Africa.
Yeah. So now that the war's over, what are the main challenges for the people there, and what do you see as the future challenges, I guess?
Because of the war, people were confined to camps for 8 years. So all in their traditional way of life, agriculture and that, was just cancelled for 8 years. So we have children there who don't know agriculture. They don't know how to live off the land, which is the main way of life up in North Uganda. So it's rehabilitating a whole society, trying to get them, put their values back into them. We have a big church which helps, called Community Church, and there it's a big youth meeting centre. We have over a thousand members, and we do a lot of dancing, a lot of singing. We're trying to put the joy and singing back into the children. I'm trying to build a big creative arts studio so that we've spent 20 years of war, barely surviving. So now it's time to do dance, drama, poetry, even a local newspaper.
Don't you get tired, Irene? It sounds like you're doing a lot.
Never. I'm never, never tired, and I would never, ever say it. I say sometimes I get slightly sleepy and I go to sleep. But no. But I think my secret for my energy in that is Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulders, not mine. So when they dropped the cross on Jesus' shoulders, that's it. He was taking all my work pressure, all my problems.
And have you felt the sense of God walking with you with what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I personally would not choose to live there. It's very difficult eating beans and dust for 9 months of the year. It's very, very difficult. And the isolation. And I used to say to God, you lift your hand off this work and I'm going back home to Australia. But he never did. And now he's expanding it. And
So you'll be staying there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm 66 now and I feel I can do another 20 good years.
Mm-hmm. And will the work go on fine without you, Irene? Is it set up?
Yeah, we have 400 Ugandan staff. So, yes, they're all in place, the board and the admin and the accountants. Yes, so it runs very well.
Okay. Last year you were named in the Queen's Birthday Honours as an Officer of the Order of Australia. Well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, that was nice that people noticed I was there. Because mostly I'm spending my life in sort of isolated from my own culture, isolated from English conversation, Aussie humour. So that was nice. It was an honour.
To feel just part of Australia still and that you're
Australia,
here.
I love.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I adore Australia and I'm obsessed with Australian beaches. I miss my beaches so much. But
you're living inland now.
Yes, in the bush. In a landlocked country.
And is there any way people listening can support you and your work, Irene, or get involved?
Yes, if they look up my website, cks.org.au. And mainly we offer sponsorship, $35 a month to sponsor one child. I don't have any fancy overheads, that money is spread over four children.
Okay.
So.
And
at the moment, I don't think I said there are 10,000 children in my care.
Yeah.
They go to CKS schools.
Yeah, wow. And if people want to catch up with you while you're here, I imagine you're doing the rounds, speaking at churches and that kind of thing. Have you?
Yes. Yeah, I've still got some appointments to go. I go back in mid-January, but there's a few church meetings, Balmain and over South Sydney.
So people can find that info on your website as
go
well?
Go on my website. Yes, cks.org.au.
Okay. So if you want to catch up with Irene and hear more of her amazing story and find out more about the work that she's doing in Uganda, her website is cks.org.au. Thank you very much, Irene.
Thank you, Katrina.
That's Irene Gleeson from Childcare Kit Gum Servants in Uganda.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.